When Katherine Graham discovered her husband's gun missing on that fateful August day in 1963, she had no inkling she was about to become one of the most powerful women in America. Minutes later, she found Phil Graham dead by suicide, thrusting her into leadership of the Washington Post despite having zero business training. "I can't do this," she thought in panic. Yet over the next three decades, this self-doubting woman transformed a struggling newspaper into a journalistic powerhouse that would help topple a presidency. Her journey from doormat wife to corporate titan represents one of the most extraordinary second acts in American business history. How does someone who never imagined leading anything become the person who makes decisions that change the course of a nation? The answer lies in Graham's remarkable personal evolution, a story of privilege, tragedy, and ultimately, courage. Born in 1917 to extraordinary wealth, Katherine Meyer grew up in a 40-room Washington mansion with every material advantage. Yet emotional warmth was scarce. Her father, Eugene, remained brilliant but distant, while her mother, Agnes, a formidable intellectual and art collector, viewed motherhood as secondary and often belittled her children. In this emotional vacuum, young Kay found comfort in the household staff, particularly her beloved nurse, Pauli. Despite privileges like French lessons and tennis coaching, Kay felt awkward and out of place. Tall and self-conscious, she described herself as having a manly stride and lacking confidence. This emotional isolation created lasting insecurity. "I thought myself ungainly, unattractive, and incapable of excellence," she later wrote, feelings that would haunt her into adulthood and shape her reluctance to lead when tragedy thrust her into power decades later. Graham's education mirrored her upbringing's contradictions. She flourished at a progressive Montessori school, but felt awkward, out of place, and different at the conventional Potomac school. In high school, despite her shyness, she excelled as both athlete and senior class president. At Vassar College, Graham underwent political awakening. Through professors and peers, she embraced New Deal ideals, engaging in wild and vociferous political arguments with her anti-Roosevelt parents. Her philosophy crystallized. Capitalism enables freedom, but somehow we have to take care of people. At the University of Chicago, she thrived intellectually, earning an A in Hutchins' demanding Great Books course. Witnessing the Republic steel strike, where police killed seven workers, taught her about labor relations and the Washington Post's influence. Throughout college, Graham corresponded with her father about the Post, which he purchased in 1933. Despite financial struggles, he wrote that she ought to be in on the job of putting it to the top, clearly envisioning her future there. In 1940, Kay married Philip Graham, a brilliant lawyer clerking for Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. Despite their contrasting backgrounds, his humble South Dakota origins against her privilege, Phil helped liberate Kay from her family's influence, bringing laughter into her life while forming a close bond with her father. When Eugene Meyer became World Bank president in 1946, Phil became publisher of the Washington Post at 31. Though inexperienced, he transformed the struggling publication by opposing McCarthyism, hiring talented staff, including cartoonist Herbert Block, and pioneering the hiring of women. The defining moment came in 1954 with the acquisition of the Times-Herald, giving the Post dominance in Washington's morning market and nearly doubling circulation to 395,000. Phil expanded beyond print by purchasing television stations and building relationships with political figures like Johnson and Kennedy. Behind this professional success lay Phil's devastating struggle with bipolar disorder. In 1957, he suffered a severe breakdown with overwhelming self-doubt and suicidal thoughts. For 6 months, Kay rarely left home as his sole support. "Though exhausting, there was something strengthening in being so needed," she later wrote. After Phil's suicide in 1963, Kay was formally elected president of the Washington Post Company. She viewed herself not as taking over, but as a bridge to her children, confiding, "I am quaking in my boots a little, but trying not to show it." She succeeded thanks to Fritz Beebe's chairmanship and favorable circumstances. The company's small size and private status allowed for gradual learning, while her commitment to family ownership motivated her despite insecurities. Graham was abysmally ignorant about business, unable to read balance sheets or understand financial terminology. Being a woman created additional barriers. No women managers existed within four levels of her position. At industry gatherings, speakers awkwardly addressed lady and gentleman, while men sometimes looked through her as if invisible. Despite these challenges, Graham grew into her role, making pivotal decisions, including hiring Ben Bradley as managing editor in 1965. Bradley transformed the paper by recruiting top talent from the New York Times. Graham's career was defined by two historic confrontations with the Nixon administration. In June 1971, when the New York Times was enjoined from publishing the Pentagon Papers, Graham faced a critical decision about whether the Post should publish its own copies. The timing couldn't have been worse, as the company was going public. Despite lawyers' warning of criminal charges and loss of TV licenses, Graham decisively stated, "Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Let's publish." The Supreme Court ultimately ruled 6-3 in favor of the newspapers. This transformed the Post from a minor irritation to a major Nixon administration antagonist, setting the stage for Watergate. After the June 1972 break-in at Democratic headquarters, the Post maintained rigorous standards, confirming every unnamed source independently and verifying everything firsthand. The administration retaliated with a boycott against the Post and challenged their Florida television licenses, a potentially devastating financial threat. The stock plummeted from $38 to $16, and legal costs exceeded $1 million. Despite challenges, Graham built a media empire. In 1971, the company went public with a two-class share structure protecting family control. Warren Buffett became a key advisor after purchasing about 10% of shares in 1973, recognizing Graham's insecurities yet maintaining confidence in her leadership. When the Pressmen's Union struck in 1975 after damaging equipment and setting fires, the Post continued publishing with management personnel despite intimidation. This ultimately enabled more efficient practices that strengthened the company. By the late 1980s, the Washington Post Company had become an undeniable success. The stock had reached $300 per share, outperforming competitors across all divisions. Buffett noted their earnings per share growth of 3,150% since 1964 was double the average of top media companies. In May 1991, Graham stepped down as CEO, passing leadership to her son, Don. Her feminist consciousness evolved through countless experiences as the only woman in rooms where white men were assumed to be the natural leaders. Graham's journey from shy, insecure daughter to powerful media executive represented both personal triumph and a transformation in American journalism. Under her leadership, the Washington Post evolved from a struggling local paper to an internationally respected institution that redefined press-government relations. Not because she sought power, but because circumstances demanded courage she never knew she possessed.